It's the Lifetime Body Podcast, where science meets common sense and where we help you make your body last a lifetime. Join physical therapist, author, and human performance expert John Zombro and inquisitive life-optimizing co-host PK the Incomparable as we explore the secrets of food, movement, sleep, ergonomics, and awareness in the pursuit of ultimate wellness. In each and every show, you'll learn how to look, feel, and perform your best so that you can live your longest, healthiest, and happiest life. Hey, welcome folks to episode number 27 of the Lifetime Body Podcast, where science meets common sense and where we help you to make your body last a lifetime. First off, I want to wish everyone a happy new year and hope that your 2018 was phenomenal and 2019 is looking to be even better if that's possible. Also, good morning to you, PK.
Morning, Jay-Z. How you doing?
Oh, man, doing great. You know, just always looking forward to doing the show, spending some quality time with you and kind of chatting about health and fitness with our friends, which is, you know, what this thing is all about. So, again, you know, thanks to everyone for making this possible. And today's episode really great because it's that time of year where whether you have a, let's say, a dedicated New Year's resolution or not, most of the time, once the holidays are passed, we start thinking about nutrition. And so today's topic, the top 20 superfoods.
Absolutely. And Jay-Z, I'm excited for this one. I know I always say that, or I think I do, but you and I were just on a walk. God, maybe like middle of last month, and you kind of brought this up to me, and I thought, man, that's a great way to think about, you know, these superfoods in quotes, and a good way to frame the conversation, especially as all of us, I think, are closing one year and opening a new chapter, and it's kind of that time for reflection and planning and just kind of taking stock.
Yeah, and believe it or not, folks, it's true. We've got over 100 new episodes queued up, so we're busy, and it's good. So you and I were taking that walk, and you were really the impetus for this show because I was telling you about my thoughts on, you know, superfoods, and I'd recently read a book entitled Super Fuels, and excuse me, and you know, had some great conversations with some clients and friends and family. You know, the ongoing over the years, but recently when we had that discussion, you said, you know what, we need to share this with our audience. And so what I did was, you know, with your input, PK, I created this list for information, for entertainment, possibly amusement. And it probably tees up how many of us will be starting out this new year with a renewed focus on health and nutrition. And I just want to say up front, you know, let's have fun with this. This is not meant to feel limiting in any way.
No, and I think that I got excited when you were, you know, sharing your thoughts simply because it's the way we're going to do this. It's like, all right, you know, why are these foods superfoods to you? And it kind of simplified it, crystallized it in my mind. So I'm just kind of curious, how are we going to frame this today as we talk about these?
Okay, so the criteria, I tried to think about how to organize that. So a list of superfoods, really just foods that are amazing and that we like and want to have in our diet. Well, just like your mileage with any exercise program or lifetime body intervention, shall we say, you know, your mileage may vary and so may your list. And so this is just one interpretation of a collection of superfoods from some like-minded individuals, just myself and a close handful of people, including PK. So it's not necessarily a recommendation and certainly not a mandate, but I had some criteria that we wanted to loosely apply. Each food had to meet what we call planet-based diet criteria. So first of all, those words need some explanation. We've been talking about for a while here at the Lifetime Body, the planet-based diet. And so that's not just plant-based, it's planet as in, you know, from the earth. And, you know, diet, I like to use that word as a noun to loosely describe the food we eat, but not so much as a verb to say I'm dieting. That sounds awful close to I'm dying. And so, you know, just to get that out there, but planet-based criteria is fairly simple. Things that aren't removed too far from the earth, so they're whole, fresh, natural foods in many cases, not overly processed. As best we can do, and I know there are challenges, we want that food to be respectful of the earth and the environment, and possibly even doing good things through the practices of producing this food, as opposed to deleterious things to the environment, and also ethical, sensitive towards the land, the air, the earth, plants and humans as well, and animals, excuse me. So that's kind of what a plant-based diet is. It's a loose set of criteria, but you know, once you've checked that off, you've gotten rid of quote unquote junk food, you're most of the way there. And that's, point one. I wanted this list to also, every food that I put on, it had to be backed in some ways, or in most cases, many ways, by research to be extremely nutritious. So the data's there. It had to be palatable, if not absolutely delicious. There's no sense not having joy in this life. And so, you know, anything that's giving someone a quote unquote cod liver oil experience, we didn't really want to put that on the list. And finally, you know, these foods match up with the recipes, the traditions, the preferences, and even the genetics of our group as we discuss them. And so that's where this list comes from.
Absolutely. And so when you and I were just chatting, you said, hey, I was talking with, you know, my buddy about what it kind of happened organically. You're like, hey, what are your top 10 foods? And, you know, let me tell you mine. It's basically like what, you know, these things are obviously they meet the plant-based diet criteria, but then, you know, these are going to make you feel better. And you kind of did a compare and contrast, like you were talking about your, you know, your baseball all-stars or whatever. And it was kind of fun to hear that. And I was like, wow, that's a great way of framing kind of, I don't know, the foods that rejuvenate for whatever reasons. And I love that how you put had to be palatable, because that's one of those things where, it's funny you bring up cod liver. That's just like, it's not sustainable for me to, you know, when you just kind of talk to people, if something is just like a horrible, you know, like a juice or a smoothie that's got a bunch of heinous tasting stuff in it, that's not going to be sustainable over the long term.
Right. And that's really, you know, how I think we've been, you know, marginally successful with our own nutritional plans, and certainly you know our clients as well. And you hit a good point, because you know that word palatable. You know, we had a show a few episodes back called "Rewilding the American Palate," because our palates have been kind of hijacked by industrial processed foods, junk foods, which are often labeled hyper palatable. And so I don't necessarily say they're complex and rich and nutritious, but they're, you know, usually very high in refined or processed carbohydrates and sugar, some vegetable oils, sometimes a lot of extra salt, although we'll talk about salt in a minute. But we're talking about foods that are much more complex and delicate and rich in flavor than, say, just a bold hit of sugar and oil, which, you know, again, that's what we're eschewing in this this health journey.
Absolutely. So we did something fun. So we're taking the top 20, and we broke it into two tiers, and we've got kind of like our starting 10 and then the second 10. And so so what we did here with the first one, or I should say what you did, is we have the first 10 in no specific order, and then you're going to talk about sort of why it made the top 10, right?
Exactly. And again, to reiterate, you know, we just listed them out in order that, came to mind. And so it's not like the first one is number one, anything like that. But these are 10 foods that that I feel, and that certainly a number of other people that we know and trust their opinion feel, are just, game changers and power fuels in nutrition. So I'll jump right in. The very first one is grass-fed, grass-finished meats. These are red meats. I like to use the abbreviation GF2, and that includes wild game.
Excellent. So why did this make the top 10, Jay-Z?
Numbers of reasons, but I'll make it brief. Most of these meats contain the highest quality of protein, along with other micronutrients within the meat, that we humans have evolved to eat and we thrive on. It's a great challenge, feeding the world and trying to be sensitive to the plant-based diet criteria and monetary issues. But whenever those meats can be grass-fed, and grass finish, there tend to be some positives, you know, with respect to both environmental factors and also the nutritional gain for us humans.
Excellent. So where are we going from here?
Extra virgin olive oil, first cold press.
First cold press. Okay. Now break down. Well, first of all, I'm curious, what do you mean by first cold press?
So when olives are, harvested, the first cold press means that the fresh olives are, put in a mechanical press and the oil is squeezed out of them. That's what that means. And, they usually do subsequent presses, which then the labeling starts to become simply olive oil. And there are quite a few loopholes in food regulations, both in Europe and America, where that can be used, but the olive oil is actually cut with seed oils, which, again, starts to get into not only flavor, but health issues. And so that extra virgin olive oil, you almost can't find a health proponent or a study that doesn't sing the virtues of olive oil. Maybe we should all be a slightly cautious. Let's not, jump on the bandwagon of anything without being good consumers. But for the most part, extra virgin olive oil, it's a blended fat, but it's high in monounsaturates. It's very high in antioxidant polyphenols, and that's what that good quality oil gives you. It gives you that bite kind of on the tongue or the back of the throat so that you know you're getting a good product. And it probably is really the backbone of all these nutritional paradigms or diets known as Mediterranean. Obviously, there's a lot of variants on that, but the olive oil is really the binder there, and its health benefits are profound.
I love that. Where are we going next?
Then we go to fatty, wild-caught, cold-water fish. And so there's a list of those, sardines, mackerel, herring, anchovies, salmon, to name a few. And this is really our finest source of the long-chain omega-3 fatty acids, DHA and EPA, which we use for so many things in terms of forming our neural systems and cell membranes and fighting inflammation. And, there's just wonderful nutritional benefits from the cold water fish.
Jesse, I like that. So kind of a picture of why these, this top 10 came together is coming into play. Not only nutritious, tasty, but all of these, the three that we've talked about so far have had, substantial health benefits, almost on that kind of like working behind the scenes level inside the body.
Yeah. In fact, with this, the foods we're talking about today, most of them, you almost can't find a negative, and it's just a win-win all the way around. So we looked at meats and olive oil and fish, and now we try to use a classification here: cruciferous veggies. So cruciferous veggies like broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, to name a few, are wonderful in that they're packed with vitamins and minerals. They do have a number of types of fiber. They have some insoluble fiber, but quite a bit of soluble fiber, which we humans seem to require a bit more, and that's debatable, but I like them. I enjoy eating them. I like the taste, and I like how I feel when I consume them. So cruciferous veggies, they're in there.
Very nice. And I mean, that distinction, it does, when you kind of think about that fourth bullet point of the criteria, I mean, there's just innumerable ways and delicious recipes to get those into your diet.
Oh yes. And we've mentioned meat and we've mentioned vegetables. And so then it comes up in the whole plant-based criteria. Well, are we recommending an entirely plant-based or almost like raw foods vegan diet or an entirely animal-based or purely carnivorous diet? And actually my common sense tells me probably somewhere in the middle. And I know many people have success being really far out there at either end. And I want to be respectful to those folks. There are ways, when you know your science, to make that nutrition work for your health and longevity. But it's actually a little easier if we're in the middle, consuming all of these things. It makes a colorful plate And I think that's also, you know, a part of this whole dining experience is, you know, the difference in textures as well as flavors and nutrition, but colors, so valuable when we look at the wonderful foods that we do have available today as a blessing.
Absolutely. So where are we going from here?
Fresh eggs from cage-free hens fed a natural diet. So, you know, there's all those terms out there, you know, it's organic and non-GMO and et cetera, et cetera. And those, you know, all those terms are important. Sometimes how they're applied and interpreted, you know, that's that's up for interpretation. But nonetheless, the egg is probably one of our most complete nutritional packages. You know, it contains essential fatty acids and high quality assimilable protein and all sorts of micronutrients, including choline, you know, one of the better sources in the egg yolk. So a fresh egg, really, if a person you know can tolerate that, has no allergies to it, and has no issues, what a wonderful thing to have in the diet.
Absolutely. And okay, so that's five of our top 10 in no particular order. Where are we going with number six?
Dark leafy greens such as kale, chard, spinach, collard greens, etc. And these are probably the plant foods that we humans, you know, had access to historically quite a bit, you know, foraging and eating leafy greens, you know, that's really, you know, that's an easy one for us. And again, you know, some folks still will have issues with that, with those food products, depending upon how they're prepared. But I like them. I think they're nutritional powerhouses. In fact, if I was to say that my diet, a lot of times, you might call it Montana Mediterranean or Montanaranian, because if you look at the plate, there's a big old steak, oftentimes from wild game, and a mound of sautéed kale, and all of it's bathed in extra virgin olive oil. And that's a great meal for me. It's a fairly complete dose of nutrition, and it certainly makes me feel and perform well.
I love it. Okay, so we're going to get into a beverage here coming up next.
Absolutely. And so this is like, well, how in the world did you put coffee in your top 10? And of course, I'm thinking, well, why not?
Yeah, well, I mean, why not, of course, but I'm sure you have some reasons why too.
Yeah, love and addiction aside, you know, the data continues to pour in, literally. Okay, you know, bear with me. You guys got to get used to me. I'm probably not going to change. But it literally, we're inundated with data that coffee is really a nutritional powerhouse. It's probably got more antioxidants than any you know, vegetable or berry or dark chocolate, for example. It's like, wow, you know, coffee really is there. And we're starting to see, you know, well, okay, people will metabolize the caffeine in it differently. And of course, the caffeine content varies, you know, depending upon roasting and preparation methods, you know, we accept all that. But coffee in and of itself, very valuable. And actually, it trumps tea a bit when you just look at the data on antioxidant content and even some of the studies around longevity. Now, it's very important that our coffee is organic. It's free trade for obvious reasons there. But, you know, coffee is susceptible in storage to mold, you know, developing mold toxins. And, you know, there are certainly issues that we want to buy high quality coffee. So that's, you know, it has to be shade grown, and it's of the, you know, Arabica, not the Robusta species. You know, coffee aficionados or connoisseurs will know all these things, but coffee is right up there, and it's not just my list. It's other people saying the same thing. They love coffee, and they feel better when they're on it than when they're not.
I always love it when the research objectively supports something that I love as much as coffee. So, all right. So where are we going from here?
Top 10 list, salt. Salt of the highest quality. And so, you know, first of all, we're not talking about the kind of like the cheap, you know, processed iodized salt that you can get in large bags for a couple bucks. You know, that might not be the most harmful thing for you, but these real salts are so much better. And so, you know, most salt is oceanic in its original origin. So, you know, that Himalayan salts and Celtic sea salts, among others. You know, I've used those quite a bit. The newer data says, well, maybe it's possible that some of the Himalayan salt, you know, is being extracted near uranium deposits, and it may have a small amount of radioactivity. Our oceans are filled with plastic from garbage dumping, and that is there are BPAs in some of the sea salts. I get that it's fairly small, but if you want the best salt around, I have found, and they're not sponsoring the show or giving me a pitch to say this, but there's Redmond Real Salt from our friends down in Redmond, Utah. They mine that basically on the hillsides above the Great Salt Lake, and it's filled with not just sodium and chloride, which is what salt's made of primarily, but it has magnesium, molybdenum, manganese, other trace minerals that we can benefit from.
Interesting. Okay, there's a little pearl there that I just learned. I'm writing a note down for Redmond. I'm going to look that up later. All right, let's take it home on these on this top 10. What are our last two?
Okay, so we've got to put it out there. It's showing up ninth on the list, but in reality, it may be documented to be the most nutritious food on the planet, and that's liver from healthy animals.
Liver from healthy animals. It could be the most nutritious, Jay-Z?
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at all the data that looks at nutrient density and the protein and the fat and the micronutrients that exist in liver, it really is a powerful food. And so ancestrally, we always had those traditions, you know, as humans, you know, eating animals nose to tail and preferentially eating the liver first among all the parts of the animal, practically. So that's good to know. And I would say first off, or, you know, right off the bat, you know, I don't love liver. I don't think liver is absolutely delicious, but I like it. And if you prepare it a certain way, it certainly has a taste that you can appreciate, and it may even be feeding, you know, an inner primal self that, you know, there's a possible sense of that. Want to put liver there and say, well, you know, how much do you have to eat? The studies do vary, but two or three times a month is probably adequate to get so much gain. And so if a person says, you know, I just got to find a way to eat liver, whether it's, some of those traditional liver and onions or other, you know, cooked recipes, or you're buying liverwurst or some type of spread, you know, give it a try, because, you won't be sorry.
I love it. And we have a sleeper. We have a fruit to round out the top 10, right?
Yeah. And so I get, I don't know if it's a deserved a rep or not, but some folks say, well, you know, you're a fruit hater. You're down on fruit. And that's not necessarily true. I like fruit. But a lot of people don't realize that olives, avocados, and tomatoes are actually fruits. And so avocados, a fruit really is a wonderful food product, because again, you know, it's got, you know, a nice blend of fats in it. First of all, I think everybody knows about that. It's fairly low carb, so it's low on the glycemic index, has a decent amount of potassium and magnesium in it. And, you know, I like the color. I like the texture. You know, you start looking at that plate, you can make some nice dishes and presentations with these items that we've talked about, including the avocado.
Well, that's a heck of a list. That's the top 10. And before we get into the, you know, our second 10, I know you want to take a minute and share a quick word from some of our sponsors.
Absolutely. So, you know, first of all, I want to say a huge thank you to everyone, and this includes listeners. So, you know, thanks again to help the podcast keep rolling and really providing forever free pearls of wellness wisdom. That's what we're here for. You know, we're friends talking about health and fitness and want to share. And so sponsors help us to be able to do that. In 2019 now, nothing comes without cost, and it's a great offsetter. So a big shout out to Thrive Market, Vital Choice Seafood, Baxter Creek Farms, and Kettle and Fire Bone Broth. So when you need high quality ingredients for your own top 10 list, one of the easiest ways to do that is just go to thelifetimebody.com, and there's a menu item on the upper right side of the page that says shop. Imagine that. You know, you click on it, and then, you know, there are information and banners for each of those vendors there. And again, nobody makes our list unless they're vetted by us and of the highest quality. And there's a few other things on there, including, you know, for several years, my Amazon shopper said, you know, I want to, you know, I want to get some fitness equipment, or I want, you know, I know you don't do too much with supplements, but I need something like that. I need a sleep mask. I need, you know, a stand-up desk option. You know, all those things are on that Amazon shopping list there as well. So it does save you a few clicks. And we've had our team of clients vet these things, and their comments available. So it's a nice resource. So again, thanks to the sponsors, and then thank you for listening. And if you need a little help quickly figuring out where you can access some of these things to make your body last a lifetime, just go to lifetimebody.com, click on shop.
Excellent. Let's keep it rolling then. Let's get into the second 10. And this would be, you know, if you kind of had to summarize, this would be like the next level of the superfood then.
Yeah, they're awesome. I just didn't think they were quite as awesome as the first 10 for me. And again, that was polling some other folks. So we've got these coconut products. So coconut oil, coconut cream, coconut milk, coconut butter. You know, there's different ways that these things can be prepared. But despite some of the recent not so positive press, which was really based on antiquated and inaccurate research, coconut oil is amazing. You know, it's first of all, it's got that high heat for cooking. It's antimicrobial, antibacterial. You know, you can use it, you know, for all sorts of food, but also it's wonderful, you know, on the skin. You know, a big tub of virgin coconut oil can do quite a bit. And I think really we need to encourage folks to consume more of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think that's interesting, that just staying in touch with, I guess, just not the most recent article, having that sort of the shift your paradigm over a certain item, just kind of taking the long view and really looking deep into the research. Not just reading the headlines, right?
Yeah, there's so much, as we've talked about before, with, you know, agenda and bias and you know, funding, that you know, a lot of the nutritional information that we get as guidelines and as fairly you know, medical recommendations, you know, they're inaccurate and inappropriate, to say the least. And again, I don't say that by, you know, just trying to have an opinion that I can't substantiate. This is again based on intensive study and knowledge of the research. And that gets to, you know, maybe another topic, another food that, you know, things bounce around on quite a bit, and that's dark berries. So dark berries like blueberries, raspberries, blackberries, acai berries, etc. The berries tend to be lower on the glycemic index, you know, kind of less sugar filled than, you know, say citrus fruits in particular. And they also are very high in numbers of beneficial compounds, you know, antioxidant among them. But they also, you know, have other features. Like, there are some unique compounds in these dark berries, particularly in blueberries, that can help us to be more resistant to sunburn. And so,
really?
You always wonder if, like, well, huh, you know, it seems like the sun is at its brightest around the time, or just before the time, the blueberries are ripening. Maybe that's all in the natural plan. I don't know the answer to that, but I do enjoy them, you know, seasonally for sure. And then sometimes, you know, I think a frozen berry like that makes a nice addition to a smoothie when you're making one.
I love it. I love it. All right. Well, that is another little pearl that I'm picking up here. Regarding the sunburns and blueberries. Where are we taking it for number three of the second 10?
Pastured butter. I love butter. Eat the heck out of it. And I tell you what pastured means is it's basically coming from grass-fed cows. So they're on pasture and they're, you know, producing a butter which is tasty, but also has a really ideal, you know, mixed or blended fat profile. And the butter is just, you know, I wanted to get it in there in my first 10. I just didn't have room for it because it's so delicious. And, you know, I think if the audience wants to have a little rage, you know, occasionally we want you to have some passion. You should be angry at a lot of the nutritional advice that we had received for 50 years or better, not to eat butter because we were robbed. We were ripped off from the joy of this delicious product.
Absolutely. And again, you know, what I'm learning a lot here, pastured. It means just a type of basically how it's been processed to get the highest quality. And I think that, you know, because if you just wrote butter down, you could walk into a supermarket and get something that wasn't at the high end, that actually you could get a butter product that wouldn't be as good as pastured butter. So Jay-Z, keep dropping these pearls and take us to the number four item or the fourth on the second 10.
Yeah. So allium based vegetables, or you know, they contain sulfur compounds. These are things like onions, garlic, shallots, leeks, you know, wonderful flavor enhancers, you know, things to, you know, perk up dishes. And also they're very rich in, you know, kind of a prebiotic fiber that, you know, we can utilize in our large intestines to nourish our gut microbiome. So there's arguments for how much of that we need to do. And we can maybe talk about that a little bit today, but save it for another time. But nonetheless, these things are great in terms of their prebiotic content. And also there's fairly good data showing that they have an effective lowering blood pressure.
Nice. Okay. Number five on the second 10. What is it?
Yeah. So number five, you know, here we are, you know, we're modern humans and, you know, humans have, you know, discovered anaerobic fermentation among other processes, you know, a long time ago. And so wine and beer, among other, you know, there's been distilled spirits as well, but these fermented products, they've been around for a while. And so I'm not sure if you want to say wineer or beine. And I have to give this, you know, this point. There is more data to suggest that wine, particularly red wine, is the healthy, quote unquote, alcoholic beverage of choice for most consumers. There, you know, there are a number of beneficial compounds. I'm sure we've all heard of resveratrol and others that are in wine. That tend to not be in beer. And then also you'll hear, you know, issues, you know, obviously with grains and beer being, you kind of viewed as liquid bread. There's quite a bit of debate going on these days with if a person is going to consume beverages like this in moderation, which one might be better. And I think, you know, it's up to your palate. And also if you're really interested in geeking out like I am and have done a couple years ago, I did, you know, I wore out my fingers testing blood glucose and ketone levels and other things. But I have found personally, while I like a little bit of red wine with a steak dinner, red wine spikes my blood sugar. Whether I buy the, you know, expensive wines or European wines or dry vineyard wines, you know, low sugar content, it still spikes my blood sugar. And I, you know, I've tested it over and over. And I think that's partly because, you know, my genetics are, you know, destined towards type 2 diabetes. And so I have to be, you know, careful with that, particularly given my medical history. Beer, on the other hand, tends to perform in my metabolism kind of like a slow carb. You know, it's like I don't get a big spike. You know, it's just kind of a small wave that will happen. And I don't think that's justification to say, you know, I should, you know, consume these things all the time. But, you know, as modern humans, we do enjoy these things, and I think it's a part of the dining experience. And so a small amount of wine or a little bit of beer here and there, you know, that's on my list. And what say you?
Jay-Z, I just think that I think it's interesting to see this, you know, top 20 superfood list that includes an alcoholic beverage that's supported by the data, and then also sort of you know, feeds into that very human element of wanting to celebrate. And I think that there, it's encouraging that, you know, you could say, all right, I'm going to take this top 20 list and kind of as a general guideline or something that's going to influence this, you know, as the year turns over, it's a new year and I really kind of want to get back on track if that's your deal. I mean, I know it is for me, but it doesn't mean that it's inclusive, I should say, rather than exclusive and rigid.
Yes. And if I, before we go on, if I, you know, just respond to that a couple of ways, you know, first of all, that's the whole idea of the plant-based diet. It's sustainable. So you don't feel like you're missing out, giving up in state of deprivation. And so I think for most of my clients, they feel very relieved. It's like, well, you know, I can have a small amount here and there. Yeah, you can. It's really not going to be negative again, when you use your judgment. And that's, again, supported by the data. There, you know, numbers of studies will show that people who drink in moderation, and of course that definition does vary, they actually tend to live a little bit longer than those who abstain. And there are different theories out there. Well, there are a few metabolic effects of small amounts of alcohol that might be beneficial. But in reality, one of the, you know, areas of consensus is probably that these people have less stress or they're more relaxed, because that's one of the pronounced side effects of consumption.
Yes. Well, good. So we've gone through 15. We have five more to go. The last five in our second 10. What is, let's take this home.
It's bone broth. And everyone knows I love me some bone broth. And you know, whether you buy it or you make it yourself, you know, the taking, say, roasted bones and slow simmering them, and, you know, adding, you know, spices and vegetables, it creates a, you know, a delicious broth that you can use to make other things with, or drink straight up as a hot soup. Bone broth, because it's simmered from the bones, it's rich in collagen and you know, several amino acids, which, you know, are great for us for you know, building blocks of our body, decreasing inflammation. And one of the really amazing things is there's a molecule that is released into the bone broth. It's called a glycosaminoglycan, which actually has been shown to improve joint health. So, you know, decrease joint inflammation, joint pain, and possibly even relate to the production of new tissue, even new cartilage in some studies. So, you know, bone broth, really, it's a delicious soup, but it's also something that our ancestors consumed traditionally, and we need to keep that alive and well today.
Absolutely. Okay, what's next?
Well, my wife wouldn't keep me around if I didn't say salsa.
Salsa, really? Okay, that's. I'm not saying I'm surprised, but I'd really like to know the reasoning behind the salsa.
Yeah, well, whether you're talking about green or red salsas, or even some other types of sauces and chutneys, you know, as long as they don't have added sugar, and you do have to watch that on some of the commercial products, you know, you're really getting a wonderful color and flavor enhancer, which has some great nutritional punch. And so again, it depends on what you put in, but if you have a salsa that's, let's say it's red tomato based, and there may be some chopped cilantro in there, and there's possibly garlic and onions and, you know, obviously, you know, chilies, whether they're, you know, fresh or dried or whatever, suddenly you're getting some of those superfoods in a very delicious bolus, shall we say.
I like that. And I do think that just the added sugar, you can, especially in many of your store-bought salsas, that can sneak in there. So you want to check your labels on that, right?
Yeah, so it might say straight up sugar. A lot of times it'll say high fructose corn syrup. Sometimes, you know, agave nectar, you'll see that. And then also watch out for the OSEs and the INs, like maltodextrin or sucralose or something like that. So that's an artificial sweetener, but, you know, same kind of thing. And so, you know, just be either make your own or just be a good shopper. There's quite a few brands that are either fresh or canned or bottled that are actually quite good. And then that brings us to another item, one that's popular kind of in the, you know, performance enhancement side of things these days, and that's mushrooms.
Yes, performance enhancement, really.
Yeah, so shrooms, make sure we're not talking about, you know, hallucinogens, but, you know, there are kind of two classes within mushrooms that we humans, you know, can or maybe should consume, and those are the culinary mushrooms, you know, like the portobello or the shiitake mushroom, you know, the those ones we make, we eat, and you know, you got that. Well, those types of mushrooms tend to be, you know, they're rich in nutrients in many cases, but they also can help to create that estrogen testosterone balance. So, you know, in other words, they're very anti-estrogenic, and we know we've talked before about how that's a problem. So if someone is interested in hormonal balancing, a serving of mushrooms once a week or so might not be a bad idea. The other side of the mushroom, the kingdom of the micelles or mycologic world, is these medicinal mushrooms. And there's so many out there now that are starting to become appreciated for what they can do because they function as adaptogens. In other words, they seem to help us to selectively upregulate certain processes in our body. There are things like lion's mane, cordyceps, reishi, just to name a few, and you know that might be a total show as well, but mushrooms really are a nutritional powerhouse.
Yeah, I tell you, I took some notes there. Magic mushrooms, but not how you think originally. Okay, two more on our second 10 list. Where are we going from here?
Aged cheeses. So sometimes I feel like a big mouse, you know. I mean, even we did Animal Fit. I'm a different animal, but I love cheese. I mean, most people, well, maybe not most, but many people love cheese. And so if you're getting an aged cheese, the benefit of that, you know, it's a hard cheese. It's going to be higher in fat and lower in, you know, water content and carbohydrate than other cheeses. Most aged cheeses, you know, they're made from high quality milk from healthy cows, and they are also, fermented. So there's, some benefit to consuming fermented products. You know, that is debatable, but the fermentation process also tends to tone down the issues that people will have either with milk sugar, which is lactose, or with the proteins that have been shown to be allergenic to some people, such as casein-1 or casein-2. Now, that being said, also those cheeses can be made from sheep and goat's milk, which gets away from some of the other dairy issues. But in all, gosh, I find that a life without cheese for me would be one filled with darkness and oppression.
I could not agree with you more. Absolutely. So what's the last item in our top 20?
Okay, top 20, bringing it home with root vegetables. So, okay, root vegetables, is that a sweet potato, a carrot, a rutabaga, a beet, a turnip? Yeah, sure, all of the above and more. Well, you know, I like them. I like their color, their texture. And here's the thing. I tend, and this again from talking with some other folks, to use these root vegetables as supplemental carbs, supplemental carbohydrates. So in other words, there are times when, let's say, you know, I want a little bit more carbohydrate, particularly if I'm in, you know, kind of a focused or hard training mode, and I'm burning up muscle glycogen or, you know, glucose stores pretty rapidly. It's a great way to replenish. I see those as being a little bit better for me because, hey, they come with, you know, some nutrients, some fiber. Again, I'm not like crazy on the fiber end, and I'll touch on that, but I like to have a little. For me, it seems to be good for my health. And I do love white rice, and white rice is kind of that benign kind of carb that you can, you know, use in place of this. Many people do. I love it, but it doesn't work for me very well. You know, again, from the blood glucose testing, white rice tends to give me a very big glycemic spike, even when I try to blunt it by mixing with other foods. And so, you know, the root vegetables, for the most part, don't do that. And, you know, obviously, when you look at those glycemic index scales, they'll say, well, like a white potato, yellow potato is fairly high up, and that is true. I don't eat too many of those, but, you know, that, you know, for whatever reason, for my metabolism, I have found through, you know, blood glucose testing, you know, if I put that pastured butter and that delicious salt on the potato and have it alongside my, my meat or fish or, you know, whatever, you know, I don't get the same response. And you can learn to correlate these things, your carbohydrate tolerance over time, because you'll feel a certain way, whether it's a mild headache, bloaty, fatigue, you know, and that usually correlates with that spike that you'll see. But nonetheless, root vegetables, they're from the earth, they're planet-based. I love them.
Absolutely. And I think that that's, you know, that's not only an item on the list, but that's you doing some, you know, self-examination to figure out, you know, which, you know, a fuel that's objectively good for you based on sort of what your training goals are. So that rounds out our top 20. A few other things came up as in your conversations and through your research. And I think that we had a few things that didn't quite make the list, but were worthy of consideration. Jay-Z, I want to do a lightning round. I want to just kind of touch on each of these quickly. We won't dive too deep. Maybe this will be in the following episode, but I just some other things that were on your radar, but weren't quite optimal enough to make the top 20.
Yeah, we can blow through these pretty quickly. And in fact, what I'll do for the listeners, you know, later this week is I'll put a blog post out on the blog at thelifetimebody.com with those top 20 and some of this information so you can take a look at it. And again, you know, your list might be entirely different, but, you know, in case you weren't taking notes like PK, we'll do that. So here's some things that you know, either A, I like, or some of my, you know, friends and clients like, or the research suggests, but they just didn't quite make the cut. Green tea, many health benefits, but tastes like grass clippings.
All right.
Just saying.
That's right. It was one of the criteria that if it was, you know, it was palatable, if not delicious.
Yeah. Dark chocolate, very rich in antioxidants, but the, you know, the best taste in the chocolate bars are the ones for me that are a little bit lower in the cacao content and a little higher in the sugar. And it's just hard to eat one square. I don't have that ability. So, you know, I didn't quite put them on the list because if I buy, you know, like a 70% chocolate bar, I just pound the whole thing. And so, you know, I try to watch that.
Fair enough. Me too.
Okay, nuts. You know, nuts are kind of looking, you know, nuts and seeds are, you know, health food, macadamia nuts, pecans, walnuts, almonds, those are, you know, usually fairly highly ranked. They are delicious and they're useful in our diet, but the modern trend is to just, you know, eat them by the bowl or the bag full. And that's just not a natural pattern. You know, nuts should be a treat. They're probably a seasonal reward. You know, historically they were. And consider the work it takes to extract those nuts. You know, eating nuts in high volume, it just doesn't quite make intuitive sense to me.
Gotcha. Okay. Now that does make sense. They could be, but the way that we sort of have adapted to consume them doesn't line up with sort of the genetics. Got it. All right. Where are we going next?
Things from the ocean. And I'm not talking about those fatty cold water fish. I'm thinking of things like spirulina, chlorella, kelp, sea vegetables. These things are nutrient rich. You know, it depends on which one you're talking about, you know, whether, you know, they're, you know, rich in fatty acids or iodine or you name it. But quite honestly, the taste is, in air quotes, unique.
Got it. So yeah,
just, you know, like I have a thing of spirulina every once in a while. I'll think, oh, maybe that would be a nice addition to a smoothie. And then, of course, it blends up and I realize I'm drinking blue-green algae. Ah, whatever.
Nice. What's next?
ACV, apple cider vinegar. It helps digestion, can control blood sugar levels to some extent, but really it's more of a supplement. So, you know, put it down on the list a little bit.
Gotcha.
Okay, coming back at you with heavy cream. In my opinion, simply the best additive to coffee. And I use it. I love it. But it contains just enough protein to trace amounts that for some people, not me, but some people, you know, it can sensitize them. You know, again, allergic reactions to the dairy proteins. And, you know, the person says, gosh, I've got some joint pain, some aches, a runny nose, acne. Usually that's in a person that's sensitive to some food, and oftentimes it is dairy.
Interesting. Okay. That's okay. Making the connection. Gotcha. All right. What's up next?
So now we get the fermented foods. And so that's one of those, you know, great topics, and can't take the deep dive here today, but, you know, things like sauerkraut, kimchi, I think they're tasty. Occasionally we'll eat some, but the popular idea nowadays is that we need to eat a ton of this constantly, you know, provide this for our gut microbiome. It's like, well, you know, I don't know. I think that's, to me, that's reverse thinking. I think the gut microbiome adjusts to the diet that we eat. And so I'm not sure I want to eat to drive what my profile is matching some other cultures. I don't know. But that's why fermented foods, I think They're tasty and nutritious to some extent, but I'm not going to have that in my top 10 list. What say you?
Exactly. Okay. So common theme with these items that were sort of close, but there's just some considerations, right? And yes. What else do we have on this list?
And so looking at those considerations, they are individual as well, but, you know, poultry. So poultry, you know, delicious, you know, in many cases, but it's less nutritious in terms of nutrient density than is red meat. You know, that's well documented. Usually a little less favorable in the whole omega-6, fat, content. Meaning having more too much, and also it's a little bit tougher to get high quality. You know, the standards for poultry raising are not there's not quite as much scrutiny on that industry as there is in the beef industry, believe it or not.
Interesting. Okay, what's next?
Same's true for pork, the other white meat, you know, but there are, you know, regulations, pork's, a pig is a different species anyway, but, the term heirloom breed and, organic pork, those are probably valuable, but there's still some questions. So I'm not saying don't eat pork. I'm just saying probably look at it as a slightly less power punch of meat than beef and related products.
Nice. Okay. What do we have next?
So now we get where, people get me the nicknames or whatever, but, most fruit, particularly citrus fruits in high quantities. So here's the thing, fruit in and of itself, if we occasionally eat a piece of fruit of any kind, it's got some water in it and fiber and got some nutrients, it's fine, but we're really, it's not regular consumption, high consumption, like food pyramid style, 3 to 4 pieces per day. That's not consistent at all with our ancestry, so there's some flawed information out there. And that's where we start to get into, almost levels of fructose consumption, like we'd get, drinking sodas, high fructose corn syrup. And so that's, known to cause obesity, diabetes, fatty liver. And pounding fruit is the secret that bears use to put on weight for the winter. So if a person says, I'm an active person, I'm athletic, I like fruit as a carb, I use it strategically, or I have it here, on my delicious plates, fine. But this whole idea that, you want to, have a sack full of apples, bananas, oranges, and, munch on that through the day, I say BS.
Gotcha. And sort of as we're getting further down the list, it's like, it can be, but there are some things that would make it not. Where are we going next?
Well, I'm going back to fruit just because I felt a little rage, and it's what we're looking at is the nutrient to sugar ratio. And so in other words, the nutrient to sugar ratio in kale or broccoli is way better than it is in fruit because they have not much sugar for a lot of nutrition. Whereas, you get less nutrients and more sugar in the fruit. So that's where that comes from. But to stay on track, as you asked me to do, legumes, however you want to say it, beans, lentils, etc. So those things actually have quite a bit of nutrition in them. The challenge is, do we have the machinery to get that nutrition out? So there are certain, protective anti-nutrients known as lectins and phytates, among other things, in these legumes. Well, they can be soaked and sprouted and pressure cooked. And that can denature and dissolve some of those things so that there is quite a bit of valuable nutrition if we do that with our beans. But they still are a carb bomb. And so, again, I'm also not like always preaching the ketogenic diet. I think, carbohydrates are fine. They're not an essential nutrient, but I eat them. And I think that, I like doing that. Most people would agree. But unless we're really active, we probably don't need, much more than 100 grams of carbohydrate per day, if that, and that's debatable. So, this whole idea that, beans are protein, actually there's a small amount of protein that's not nearly as good as meat and eggs in beans, but their first contribution is carbs in the diet. So it's like, hey, know what you're trying to do when you're eating or selecting these foods.
Absolutely. Oh, excuse me. All right. What's up next?
I'm almost to the end of my rant. So now we get into the, you know, the kind of heirloom grains talk. And so, you know, heirloom grains are those ancient grains which, you know, haven't been, you know, bioengineered and genetically modified to any great extent. And so they tend to be, less starchy, less high in gluten. A number of reasons why, again, when people say they go to Europe and eat the bread, they feel fine, but they get sick when they do it here in the States. There's some reasons for that. But, you know, I think we just have to be careful about this rationalizing and justifying our massive addiction to grains. And so I say, thanks, big ag, thanks, big food, thanks, big government, thanks, big medicine, all these people making a buck by telling us to eat grains. I choose not to do that very often based on how I feel when I consume them. And so everyone should make their own choice, but know that if you also, like we talked about with the dairy, if you have some chronic aches and pains and, you know, headaches and mood swings and your joints are stiff and you have acne or your guts don't feel right, try cutting out grains for a few weeks and see what happens.
Right. Right. I think that applies to the last two as well. So let's take it home.
Yeah. So we get into this natural thing with like raw natural honey, agave nectar, maple syrup, you know, whatever. It's still concentrated sugar. So, okay, have a little here and there, but not make it a staple. In fact, that's how the human metabolism is designed to work. We're designed to have sugar once in a while. You know, in other words, we can make use of it. You know, the picture of the hunter-gatherer coming upon the beehive type of thing or the berry patch. The chronic constant exposure in the diet is the problem. So avoid these added sugars, even if they say they're natural. And then I get to the final one, and this is like, you know, we built this up to drive it home, give the big hit here. It's the seed oils, you know, so the so-called vegetable oils, that's the big six, you know, the devil oils. And so that's the three C's. We've got corn, canola, cottonseed, and the three S's, sunflower, safflower, and soy. You know, those are the ones that are, they're basically agricultural byproducts, waste products, processed under high heat, high pressure with caustic chemicals to make a buck on your health. So if you want to be, you know, addicted and sick and fat and die early, eat them. You know, but if not, you know, think about it. They're amazing for frying. I get that. And that's why they're, you know, sitting for months in deep fryers and restaurants all around America, not just fast food. But they're downright deadly. And they're also in almost every processed food out there. So just say no to the seed oils.
So, John Boy, I see what you did here. So at the end of this list of a few things that were close but didn't quite make the list, you completely added grains, sugars and seed oils as sort of like a cautionary tale. I see you snuck those in there on me.
Yeah, I mean, shouldn't that be a redundant message? You know, we we all need maybe a little slap to the face. Wake up, stop denying it. You know, we've got
sure.
to do this. And but so, I think hey, Happy New Year.
Yeah, happy. But those are not close. They are not like just barely didn't make the list. Those are like absolutely. Those are the killers.
Right. And a balanced diet doesn't include a small amount of poison. It doesn't, you know, so that right. stuff is, you know, end of discussion, shall I say, but, you know, remember, okay, so let's lighten up. It's just our list. And of course it's a mix of science and some bias. And I'm sure you felt that. Ask yourself, well, what are my favorites? And if you do, share your list with us, fire us a question or a comment. We'd love to, you know, share that with the rest of the listenership and also, you know, learn from you, our valued audience.
Absolutely. So at the end of the day, what's the goal? What's someone says, all right, I've got the list. I'm going to take my notes. What can they do with it?
When we talk about food, we most often think of, you know, it's nutrition, it's tactical, it's measured, but we must never forget that we really are here to dine and enrich and nourish and celebrate. And that's what, you know, food does for us. And we gather around and share it. And let's always keep that tradition alive.
Absolutely. And then there's some other sort of like zooming out, some other stuff that you know, that we talked about on our first walk that you wanted to share kind of when people think about this.
Yeah. So my whole thing, you know, folks will ask me, you know, well, I want to lose weight. And I say, well, I hear what you're saying and I'm respectful of that, but you know, I want you to be healthy. And if you're healthy, automatically your body composition will begin to normalize. So in other words, you'll build up or maintain your lean body mass or muscle mass, but you'll lose your body fat down to a desirable range. And so that's really, for me, what weight loss is. It's, it's a body composition improvement through health enhancement. But, you know, that's tough to pitch to some people. And so we did Project Jacked, and it's out there. And if you're starting a new year where you really want to do it all and you want to get healthy, reset your metabolism, you know, get fit, get lean, know how to adjust all the lifestyle, the diet factors, the train, you know, that's a great program. I mean, I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. But what a lot of people ask me is, well, can you give me the Cliff Notes version? Can you, you know, just tell me, you know, the main things that I need to do to lose weight. So yeah, we'll be coming out with a new program very soon, and it's called Effortless Weight Loss.
Absolutely. And that's going to be, you know, it's just going to give folks sort of a straightforward, clear message on, you know, how to get to where they want to be in terms of their body comp.
Yeah, exactly. You know, reduce body fat, improve health, preserve lean body mass. You know, again, it's not all just weight loss, but it's important for us to be in those healthy ranges. And this program shows you how to do that easily, effective, safely, minimal investment in time or cost, totally sustainable. So stay tuned. You know, we're really talking probably 9 or 10 days for the big launch, and it's going to be exciting. And you'll learn more about it here on the show as well as on the other publications and website.
Excellent. And so we're going to take it home. As always, you have the review of the week. Who's this one from today?
Yeah, this one comes from Tim in Phoenix. And it reads, I really love this podcast, and I've especially been digging the recent shows featuring the Animal Fit program. I just downloaded my copy of the book, and it's so fascinating I can barely put it down. It's really got me thinking about my goals for 2019. Animal Fit is helping me to realize that much of what I've been doing has been totally wrong for my body, and I've been beating myself up about not getting results in fitness and body composition. Now I have a better understanding of my unique gifts and how I can work with, not against them, more successfully. I think this is a life changer, and I'll report back in a couple months on my progress. Thanks so much for this program and your awesome podcast.
Jay-Z, that is awesome to hear. I you know, Tim did a great job articulating something that I've definitely felt reading Animal Fit, and I think that it'll be interesting to sort of hear back from him in a couple months.
Absolutely. And, you know, thanks, Tim. I really am honored and flattered to hear your comments. And as always, you know, thank you, listeners. If you, you know, have a question or a comment, reach out to us. I would love to feature that on the show or just, you know, communicate with you directly at any time. And PK, thank you for helping us to launch this new year. And it's going to be a phenomenal one. So I salute everyone.
Yeah. Happy New Year, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Lifetime Body Podcast. If you'd like more information on the Lifetime Body publications and services that can help you to achieve ultimate wellness and look, feel, and perform your best, check out thelifetimebody.com. And if you're digging this content, please leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to the show and share it with your friends and family. Until next time, this is the Lifetime Body, where science meets common sense and where we help you make your body last a lifetime.